97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show. We have a great show in store for you today. We are getting some of the best career advice you can get, and I have with me Betsy Smith. Welcome, Betsy.
Thank you, Kristen. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So please tell us, so you have E.L. Smith Consulting, and you do career professional consulting all over the triangle.
That's correct.
Tell us a little bit about what your firm does specifically.
Primarily, I work with executive and professionals who are, for whatever reason, frustrated in their job.
People are frustrated with their jobs,
they
Betsy?
They are.
That's shocking
they
to me.
They are.
Wow.
And I work with them to determine what they would like different.
Yeah.
Would they like a different job? Would they like a different pay salary? Would they like not to be laid off?
Right.
What is it?
Some baseline things,
yeah,
right?
Some real baseline things for those folks who are into their career and are at some decision point about, do I get on this corporate ladder or do I stay the resident expert and go to my kid's soccer game this afternoon?
Well, and that's a really interesting question that I think, in particular, I'm going to bring up women, but a lot of women face the whole work-life balance, trying to, you know, we're told we can have it all, but can we really? That type of thing. How did you get here? Because I want to talk about that, but I want to find out, how did you get into this space that you're in right now?
During my career, I was indeed that second woman admitted to Rotary, and at that time, they were just admitting women to Rotary. I was the second female executive at the table.
Mm-hmm.
I learned to play golf because they weren't going to leave me out.
Uh-huh. And you were going to be right up in there.
I was going to be right up there, and I loved it.
Uh-huh.
I was so
you hanging with the boys.
Happy to be in that place because I like being first, and I like being on the edge. So I lived out my career, and I started working with an executive coach as I was coming to the end of my career.
So that's it. So that was even probably cutting edge, too.
It was.
Yep.
It was. And about halfway through my engagement, I said, so Vicki, can you make a living doing what you're doing? And she said, yeah, Betsy, I do pretty well. And I said, then I want to be trained.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I realized, I spent my first career in higher education as an administrator in higher ed. Everything I had done, teaching, leading, collaborating,
absolutely,
raising money, I always did from the coach approach. I wasn't a lecturer. I was a question and asker.
Right. Getting people to think.
Getting people to think. So I get trained as a coach, and then I start talking to professionals. And that's 20 years later.
Right.
And I realized that, especially with the women, they're not facing everything I did. But they're still faced with, how do I get heard? How do I establish boundaries?
Not get taken advantage of.
How do I be one of them? And there are many, many, many more women in the workforce now, especially in executive levels.
Yeah.
But they still, how do I establish boundaries? How do I say no? How do I say I want that project? So when I identified, that's what I know. That's what I live. That's what I love.
I've been there. Pick me.
Really.
I know exactly what you should do.
Really. That's how I defined my market segment and got into coaching these women and some men.
Yeah.
But primarily it's women who will come to me and invest in themselves to get what they want.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you're coaching you just younger. So, because it does take somebody with a lot of forward thought and investing in themselves to say, all right, I want a coach. I'm ready for a coach. I'm ready to receive a coach. And somebody who has an ego that is not so tightly wound that they can look out and say, you know what? I don't know how to do this.
Right. As I say, my clients are ready. They are at the point of readiness. There are other coaches who work with people to get them to the point of readiness.
Yes.
But my clients come to me because they're ready. I have my clients are mainly short term, 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
They identify where they want to go. We set a path. We set up some accountability measures, and off they go. So you're right. It takes a particular personality to say, I'm just not getting this by myself. I want somebody to tell me an easier way to do it.
The fastest way from A to B. Right, and support me along the way. And I love the accountability piece because I'll be honest, and I know I'm not the only one. There are some of us who have great ideas and great things that we could be doing, but the accountability piece isn't there and it doesn't get done all the time.
That's right, and that's why personal training is an industry now.
Yes.
I mean, for years I paid a personal trainer to count my reps for me.
Right.
Because if he was there at the gym, then I would go.
Then I had to be there, too.
That's right.
Because I was going to have to pay him either way.
Yeah. So the accountability is an important part of career success.
Yeah. And having somebody, too, who understands the lay of the land of a corporation. And I think that's really, or a large organization. It doesn't have to be a corporation. But has seen that organizations can get siloed, that people can get siloed, and helping to build bridges between all those. Because one of the main things we all know is the networking piece.
It is. I have a client who was a pharmaceutical sales rep for many, many years.
Yeah.
And got laid off, not because she wasn't productive, because her whole section got dissolved.
Yeah.
Well, she lived and worked in her car.
Yep.
Networking. Mm-hmm. She networked with the docs and the office managers. But then she had to learn how to network. She had to learn where to go.
So where would you tell her to go? That's a question.
I coach my clients to go where people are that do what they want to do.
Okay.
I have a friend who was unemployed for several months, and he went to one of the church support groups regularly.
Yep.
Which was wonderful.
They
for
are
him.
Wonderful.
And
yes, they
finally
are.
Finally, I said, well,
they're not going to hire
you. Don't you think it would be good to go where people are that can hire you?
Yeah.
And so if it's a professional organization, if you're passionate about the Red Cross, volunteer with the Red Cross, because there are people with the Red Cross that work for companies you want to work for. And I really coach my clients to do internal networking, even if they aren't threatened by their job.
Yeah.
And one person works for one of the big pharmaceuticals, and once a month she makes a coffee date with someone she doesn't know in another part of her company. She doesn't have any agenda other than to introduce herself to them and to find out what they do.
What a wonderful way to do that.
It is.
That truly is. I had a guest on a while back, and she, one of the primary ways she used for networking, which I hadn't done because I'm not on it a lot, is instant mail.
Right.
You know, just doing that to reach out to people, to make sure that you're in mind with people and keep you connected. Because if you're out of sight, you can be out of mind.
Right. And of course, LinkedIn is really, really an important part of networking. And and that, just like every other bit of networking, is work. They
it
don't
is.
Call it networking. They don't call it net funning. They call it networking.
I haven't heard that one before.
And I actually.
But it can be fun.
For me, it's fun. For introverts, that's not very much fun.
I agree with you. And even for extroverts, it can be very grueling. I mean.
Tedious.
Yeah, it can be. And it is work.
And so I teach people to think about it as net weaving.
Ooh, I like that.
So that you go in thinking, what can I give to them?
Yep.
Rather, what can I get from them?
Yep.
And that's really helpful for introverts to think. It's not that I'm asking them. I'm not out to get something.
Right.
I'm out to learn something or to share something.
And that works good. So if you're an introvert and you need to be networking, that is a great way to do it.
Net weaving.
And also, I think introverts can do well with a small, like the coffee thing, I think, would work for a lot of introverts because it's one person. It's not an overwhelming group. It's an, you know, it, and it's, and let's be honest, it's like exercise. The more you do it, the more comfortable you're doing it. And your first go out the gate may not be the best, but keep going.
That's right. And it's like everything else. It's practice.
Yes.
And as you know, the brain doesn't know if you're practicing or if it's for real.
Right.
So just like you get to Carnegie Hall by practice, practice, practice.
Yep.
You learn assertiveness skills. You learn networking skills. You learn how to start a conversation. You learn how to say no. You learn how to ask for a raise by practice.
Mental practice. And I'll give you a quick non-professional related example, but something I did with my youngest daughter who was going to summer camp and didn't know anybody. First of all, we went and we bought candy. It's important to be able to give something to people you're about to meet that they like.
Yes.
But then we did. We practiced saying her name. So by the time she actually hit the cabin, she had a little, if you will, elevator speech down. Hi, my name is Zoe. Would you like a Jolly Rancher or whatever it is? But I think you can translate that well into the professional community, and you can bring, you know, Milano cookies or something, you know, just, hey, you know, I have an extra whatever. Would you like it? Oh, my name's John. Or
I also coach people to not ask, what do you do? Because so many people are looking for a job, and that's really uncomfortable.
It is.
So I coach them to say, did you go to school around here?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you live? Do you enjoy basketball?
Right.
Something. Anything other than get right to the point of, so what do you do?
Right.
Well, I've been unemployed for 2 years.
Yeah.
Thanks for
asking.
Usually
people say, I'm in transition.
Yes, like,
okay,
exactly.
Well, there you go. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the trends going on. Sheryl Sandberg has started a firestorm, you know, with the whole lean in. Are we leaning in? What are we doing? So hang with us. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment. Follow me on Twitter, KR Heemstra. I know that's a doozy. And like us on Facebook, and we'll be back soon.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome back to the Art of Potential Show. I am talking with Betsy Smith. She is the president of E.L. Smith Consulting and a wonderful, wonderful career coach. So here is my question to you, Betsy. So Sheryl Sandberg, she writes this Leaned In, right?
Right.
And it tells women, go for it. You can have it all. You should be in the executive bathroom. You should everything. And women read it and we're like, wow, we should be leaning in. We should be doing all this. My experience is with the family and the career that leaning in is just very exhausting.
Well, leaning out is exhausting too. And
how would you define leaning out?
Leaning out would be sitting back with your arms crossed, checking in every day, doing your job, but not being engaged.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, the Gallup organization did some research that said only 30% of people in the workforce are doing work that is in alignment with their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can align people with their strengths, then you get engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get more productivity. You get loyalty. You get trust.
You get loyalty and trust from strengths?
If people are working in their strengths.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you ask me to do accounting work, I could do it.
Right.
But I would hate every second.
Right.
I wouldn't do it well.
There'd be little flowers drawn on the side of the
That's
numbers.
Right. You ask me to be on a radio show, I'm all about
right,
that.
Yeah.
Talk to 1,000 people, you got it.
Right.
So if you can match your employee strengths
right.
with the job,
right.
the leadership is easy. Because that's what they do. If you've got them in the wrong place, then your job is harder because you've got to coach, you've got to correct, you've got to encourage, you've got to motivate.
Somebody whose strengths aren't aligned with the position they have.
Right.
Right.
Same thing with values.
Yeah.
If your values are not in alignment with your organization's values, a couple of things are going to happen. one, you're either going to try to change the organization's values.
And I've seen that happen.
And that's probably not going to be very productive or beneficial to your
career. No, and I can just see it a mile away. That train is coming and it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
But
or you decide, you know, my integrity will not allow me to stay here.
Right.
This is not the right fit. And, you know, Kristen, I think that's so true about any hiring process.
Yeah.
You interview, you vet, you check references, and it's a crapshoot.
Right.
You know?
No matter how good you are.
No, no matter how good the organization is or no matter how good the person is, if it's not the right fit, it's not the right fit. And I coach leaders that if it's not the right fit in 30 days, it's not going to be the right fit in 60 days.
And that's tough. And that's tough from the employer and the employee's perspective because some of those times it's not personal at all.
Oh, no.
It's just not.
No. I've actually fired people who said thank you because they were miserable in their job.
Right.
But yet they couldn't say, I don't want to do this anymore. So you had mentioned Sheryl Sandberg earlier.
Yes.
Let's talk about lean in, lean on, and lean out. Sheryl says that women need to sit at the table.
Right.
They need to speak up. They need to be heard if they want their career to flourish.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting, we just celebrated the one-year anniversary of Lean In. And I don't know if you know that she's partnered with the Girl Scouts now to ban the word bossy.
I've seen some Twitter stuff on that, but okay.
Because little girls, if they are exhibiting leadership skills, they're called bossy. Little boys have leadership skills. So, you know, Sheryl's real big about campaigns. So she's got, she's got this whole campaign to ban bossy. But what I coach my clients to do is choose. Choose. Do the pros and the cons and choose. Do you want to climb the corporate ladder? Are you happy as a clam being the resident expert? But you get to choose. Now, Anne-Marie Slaughter wrote an article in The Atlantic magazine about 6 months after Lean In came out, and she assures us we cannot have it all. I say, when you know what having it all means to you.
Right. That's the bottom line
right
there. Right. You know, let's you cut know, to the chase.
Having it all to me meant having a career and not having children.
Right.
To other women, having children, having a career is having it all.
Right.
But
and to other women, having children and being at home and raising
them
is having it all.
Exactly. Exactly. I hosted an event last week, and we had four panelists, and one had been a stay-at-home mother, and one worked for Quintiles and had kids, and her husband raised them because she traveled 3 weeks out of the month internationally. And neither was right or wrong.
Yep.
They were different.
Yeah.
And neither of them let someone else tell them what having it all meant.
Right.
They made the decision. So I coach my clients to step up, look at what's going on, and you decide. And once you decide, then you got it.
Sounds so easy when you say it. And I have to say, in the back of my mind, I'm going through and I'm listening to you have one woman who stayed home and you had another woman whose husband stayed home. In a lot of cases, both parents are working. And so I will say I outsourced my child raising while I worked. And it was great because I was able to find a wonderful person to do it. And I think that would be very hard if you didn't have that.
Right.
And I also made some career decisions so I would get time, summers, and things like that to do it. But I do think a lot of families struggle with, you know— both parents having to burn the candle at both ends. And
and I think more and more men are wrestling with having it all as much as women.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Because men are much more involved in child raising now
than
they were years and years ago. And they want to be part of their child's life. And
they do.
It's the same thing. Choose.
It is. And sometimes the choice happens for you. And I've seen that with some families, too, where the woman's career just took off.
Mm-hmm.
Either her skill set was more desirable or whatever, she ended up getting hired first. And then sometimes the men just by necessity end up being at home. And I don't think that's always a good fit, but I have seen that too.
Right, right. Yeah. And I have a friend whose husband chose to be a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah.
So to each his own.
I have an uncle like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, very fulfilling for him. So the whole work-life balance, what I hear you saying is it doesn't actually happen. It's more something that happens in bits and starts or something you choose how that balance will look for you.
Well, first you have to decide what that balance is for you. Now, let's face it, Kristen, if our life were balanced all the time, we'd be bored, wouldn't we?
Well, I could use a little bit of that to decide if I'm bored or not. But yes, you're right, Betsy.
Yeah,
we
because
would.
Life is,
eventually,
life
yes.
is not even keel.
Right. No, it's not.
And I think we were created to enjoy the challenges and to maybe strive for balance. But to accept that today's just going to be a hectic day. Tomorrow will be better. Or today I define balance as going to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow I will define balance as going to the kids' soccer game.
Right.
But decide.
Right.
Choose. Get.
And when you say choose, what I'm hearing you say is take control.
Yes.
Like, get yourself in front of it so it becomes an active act that you're taking instead of something you have to do and you're responding to.
That's right. It's interesting. I do a part of one of my presentations is use words that work.
Mm-hmm.
And to get rid of the word should and have to and ought to and replace or need to.
Right.
And replace that with I choose to.
Yes.
And it's a small shift.
Oh, it's a huge shift.
It's a little reframing, but it makes all the difference. I have a friend
totally
whose
does.
Kid was in high school and his car was broken and she was complaining to her mother, I've got to drive Eli to school and pick him up every day this week. And her mother said, he'll be in college next year. You won't get to drive him to school. And it really changed her perspective.
Yeah.
And we often are led by circumstance. And I just think it's very important that we become conscious of the decisions we have to make. They're ours to choose to make.
They are.
And once you get control of that, then you are empowered, if I can
yes.
use that
no,
trite word.
Yes, no, now you have power over it.
Right.
Right. When you have control, you have power.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, well, we're going to take a break on that note. And when we come back, we are going to just pepper Betsy with questions about how to get ahead. So you are listening to the Art of Potential show. Please take a look at our website. We're doing a workshop coming up called Make Your Mark. So go ahead and take a look at that and see if you're interested.
You're listening to the Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with the Art of Potential show. We are talking with the wonderful Betsy Smith. She is the president of E.L. Smith Consulting. So, Betsy, you do all kinds of career coaching. You have tons of clients. Your clients, when they come to you and say, Betsy, I want to get ahead and I don't know how do you advise them?
You know, my clients come to me, Kristen, and they want to go from the mailroom to the boardroom.
You know, who doesn't? Let's be honest.
And
minimum wage, maximum wage. I'm all about that.
That's right. That's right. And the clients who come to me are ready. And
well, they're investing. I think when you pay someone to help you with your career, you are ready.
Yes, you are. And most of them are quite capable, bright, ambitious, intelligent, and they're smart enough to know this can happen faster mm-hmm. with a coach.
Yes.
To help me decide exactly where is it that I want to go, how do I get there, who do I need to know, and to keep me accountable.
Right.
For my career path. And actually on my website, I claim to be a career accelerator coach.
I love that.
It's not so much about choosing your career. It's about how do you get where you want to go. And a lot of clients don't know.
Right.
And so the first thing we do is determine, one question I'll ask is, what did you love to do when you were 10?
Mm-hmm.
And really get them thinking back to what do they love,
absolutely,
not what do they do.
Oh, and that's the younger years are such a good indicator because that's when everything is organic.
Right.
Well, I don't know about the new generation coming through because we've overloaded them with such activities. But,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So we look at their strengths. What are your innate strengths? And there's an assessment that I use. And they know, but it's always fun.
It's fun to see it on paper in black and white.
To see it on paper. Oh, yeah. That's what I love to do. Oh, yeah.
Do you use strength finders?
I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, again, we look at values because I think your value system, your core values and your values are important to help you get where you want to go.
Absolutely.
And then we decide, we look at, is it in your company? Is it someplace else? Is it important to you? I actually have them create their perfect job. I have them create their office. I have them create the number of people that they work with.
Fun.
I have them talk about how often they travel or they don't travel. So they get a really clear picture of perfect to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to focus.
Sounds like a Pinterest board for careers.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah.
What absolutely. Do you want your office to look like? What do your colleagues look like? What exotic places are you going?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Perfection.
Right. And once you have that clear picture, until you're really clear about that, it may be there, but you can't see it.
Right. Well, you haven't named it in a sense.
Right. Right. And once you get really clear about that, then it's amazing. It's like when you get a new car,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize how many other cars there are on the street like yours. And once you get that clear picture of your career, then you'll see where it is. And you're not overwhelmed with, oh, maybe it's this, and maybe it's that, and maybe it's this. And the cool thing about it is, Kristen, you can change your mind.
Right. You can change out. You can change out the office. You can change
That's
out the
right.
people.
One
you
of
can
the
change
great
out the job.
About
yeah.
Making decisions is you can make another decision.
Right.
Very seldom are they life-threatening.
Right.
And if you can get over the paralysis of making a decision, the paralysis of, oh, if I'm in control, I might make a mistake. Well, okay.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. And I just want to, I mean, I love the idea of having the perfect thing. I was talking to someone this morning about doing internet marketing and saying, well, I want to get a perfect platform. And this guy cracked up and he said, give it up and just go. Because
right.
To your point, you'll get so caught up in the paralysis of perfection that, you know, everybody's made 1,000 mistakes. Everybody looks behind them and goes, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that.
Really. And very few people will ever know it's your mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because to other people, it's not about you. It's about them.
It's about them, and it's in real time,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so your advice to someone coming in and saying, I want to get ahead, is to have them sit down and say, okay, what is ahead? What does it mean to you? What are you looking at creating? How is that going to look?
Right.
So let's say they want to get ahead in their company, and they're having an issue where they're in a boardroom and they're not being heard or they're not being recognized
right.
for their contribution. How do you advise somebody like that? Because there are a lot of people out there doing amazing things and no one around them knows.
There are a couple of tips I have. And one is, so often a woman will, one, start apologizing.
Right.
One of my mantras is stop apologizing. I know this might not be a very good idea, but what if we da 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 da? Or I'm not sure this would – so just get rid
right.
of the weasel
yep.
words.
Yep.
I have an idea, and it will get this company this much more productivity, this much more money. So usually – it has been my experience that a female may say it at the boardroom, and nobody really responds. And 20 minutes later, some guy at the end of the table says the same thing. So you've got a couple of choices. You can cross your arms and seethe.
Pout.
Pout.
Yeah.
You can pitch a fit.
Mm-hmm. Inside, because you'd never do it actually at the boardroom.
Or you can lean in and say, that's exactly what I was talking about when I mentioned da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
So that you are claiming that idea. If you don't say anything, no one will remember whose idea that was, and somebody else will get the credit. But you have to be able and willing to say, that's my idea.
You own it.
To own it and mm-hmm. be proud of it.
Right.
And to get over, what if nobody likes it? All right. So I have another idea. And I guess the thought that just flashed through my mind was toughening up.
Mm-hmm.
Because so
not being so sensitive.
Yeah,
right.
It's not about your character. It's work.
Right.
It's a profession. It's a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been in meetings where guys would yell at each other and slam their fist on the table and then go to the football game together.
Right.
Oh, women just get crushed and hold on to it for forever. And as you say, you got to get over that. If you want to run with the big dogs, you have to get over that.
Because the big dogs tend to be very opinionated.
Right.
Anyway.
I've never had a problem with that, but yeah.
Of course not. No, of course not. But they're often well-founded opinions that they can defend well and that they've had to defend throughout the time of the forming of them throughout the boardroom. I do notice, and I have noticed in the various industries I've worked in, and when I was the associate director at the Investment Advisement Council, men are, to your point, much more willing to put their ideas out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't put them – I mean, I'm making a generalization here, but they don't seem to be put out there with as much ego involved.
Right.
It's kind of like, I'm putting this out there. Does anyone else have anything? Mm-hmm. You know, you do find some that are – and women, there are some great women out there who will, for the good of the order, let's just put this out there and see where it goes.
Right.
And so they're not as tied to it, but it's used as a conversation starter or
right.
something like that.
Right, yeah.
To figure out where that will go.
Yeah. Another tip I have is to practice having conversations and to talk about something other than your kids.
Yes. I'm guilty. I'm totally guilty. But yes, absolutely.
And I'm just an unusual person in that I really like sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk baseball and I can talk – and I like
yeah,
that.
Right.
And if sports isn't your thing, at least be tuned in enough to what's going on.
Yes.
So that you can carry on an intelligent conversation about something other than
– right.
If your washing machine is working or not, or did you
right.
get a ticket coming to work, or
how many places you have to be this evening
that's
that
right.
you can't.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I also coach women to stop telling everything they know
Ooh.
About their lives. Or I understand transparency, and
right.
I coach transparency. Let people know who you are, what your values are. But a wise man told me many, many years ago, Betsy, you don't have to tell everything you know.
Right.
And so be selective. And if people are interested, they will ask. And it's another interesting thing, Kristen. I coach women to speak up.
Right.
And I coach them to shut up.
Once you put it out there,
you know,
don't need to keep talking.
That's right. And
right.
and if you're not a subject matter expert, you don't have to enter into the conversation until you've got something meaningful
mm-hmm.
to offer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't put your foot in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We are going to take a break. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook, follow on Twitter. I'm going to give you my last name spelling, right? So if you follow us on Twitter, it's K.R. Heemstra. Heemstra is H-I-E-M-S-T-R-A. Yeah, I know you'll remember that. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. I am talking with Betsy Smith. She is the president of E.L. Smith Consulting, a wonderful career coach. So, Betsy, question for you. Where do you see some of the biggest conflicts between individuals and their careers?
I think that there are I see conflicts in communication.
Okay.
In communication about expectations.
Can you give a concrete example?
I have a client, and one of her responsibilities is the professional development program in her company.
Okay. That's a big job.
In order for her to bring in speakers or do workshops, she has to get an okay from the human resource director, to whom she does not report.
Which is interesting because
yes.
She's working with the whole organization.
Right?
Okay.
So her perception is, I'll send him an email saying, I've got so-and-so booked, please approve. And I won't hear from him for weeks. And when I finally do hear from him, his email starts with, urgent and important.
So it's like he's yelling.
It's like he's yelling.
Okay.
And my client feels that it's only urgent and important because he didn't get to it. She gave him plenty of time. So
her end of the bargain,
right? She's got the resentment building up, and every time she sees urgent and important, she cringes and her blood pressure goes up. He's probably got 40,000 other things he's dealing with.
I know. He's the head of HR. He's dealing with a whole lot of things.
Yeah, you know, he's in court today.
Right.
So I coached her on how to help him give her approval in a more timely manner so she didn't get backed up. And it was about call him, go sit down with him,
yeah,
and tell him, here are the five people I've got lined up, and get it knocked out, rather than to try to do it once a month. And that will help him be more productive, and it will get this dissonance out of the way.
Right. That she's in some ways created.
That's exactly.
Yeah, because I'm thinking it's probably not there on his end. It's probably her end.
He's clueless.
Right.
He's clueless.
Right.
But, you know, Kristen, many of my clients have bosses and supervisors who are in a different country.
Yes, yes,
and
with
that's
the global
a
marketplace,
different kind of communication problem.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the conflicts I deal with are miscommunication or different communication styles.
Yep.
And once you can get in control of that, see what's really going on, and you take action, then the conflict lessens.
Yeah.
And, you know,
or it may not even exist. You might have just had it.
Exactly.
Created it. Yeah.
And I coach my clients that conflict is part of life. So,
which is good for women.
Wade into it.
Yeah.
Get it done and learn from it. And the more you avoid conflict, the bigger the conflict is.
Right.
And so if you, again, my word, reframe, or if you can look at that differently. And say, okay, so this is going to be a conflict. It's like you and your 13-year-old when she wants to, I don't know, pierce her nose and you don't want her to. Okay, so there's going to be a little conflict, but we'll clear the air.
We'll move on.
And then
tomorrow will happen.
And do our job.
Yeah.
That's the key with performance is it's a job, you know? It's a job. They're paying you to get the job done.
They are. And that's an important thing to remember. They are paying you to get the job done.
Right.
So they want you to have ownership in it. But in the end, that's the desired outcome.
Right.
So when you get a client, what I would like to get from you, Betsy, is some real practical advice that people can take right now if they are thinking to myself, Betsy is somebody who I would like to hire or somebody who I would like to have work with me. What is some real practical advice that you would give to a client like that?
The advice would be first to do the tried and true pros and cons of whatever it is you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Get it on paper.
Yep.
So that it's clear for you.
It's clear for you. And sometimes you'll have when you write a pro and con, it almost needs to be a star system because sometimes it might be one con, but it's a really big one.
Right.
You know? Anyway.
Yeah. The other is look at your values. What's important to you? Is it important to you to be at the soccer game, or is it important to you to go to Italy to the next business conference? And then choose and give yourself permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And get on with it, as I say.
Give yourself permission to do that. So in a sense, you're telling women they should be putting their interests and careers on what I hear is put yourself out there and invest in yourself.
Absolutely.
Or make yourself, you know.
Absolutely. And it's that having it all thing. Having it all means I do everything for everybody else. And that's one of the reasons Kathleen Logan and I wrote Second Blooming for Women, Growing a Life That Matters After 50. Because when you're two, it's all I want, I want, I want.
It is.
And when you're an adult raising
and
kids.
And I'm a fairy princess.
It's I give, I give, I give.
Right. And you're a fairy princess.
When you get to 50, then you get to choose.
Yeah.
And you get to and you know, we're going to have 40 years ahead of us after we turn 50. So we have a whole nother life to
live.
Right. And the book is exactly how I coach leadership. Attitude, vision, values, goals, and action plans.
I love it. So if people want to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you?
I'm at Betsy at E.L. Smith Consulting. I do have a website, E.L. Smith Consulting, and also on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy Smith, PhD, is how I'm known.
Well, what I'll do, too, is I will have a link on my website at theartofpotential.com to Betsy, so you'll be able to get to her that way as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. It's been wonderful.
It has been absolutely delicious.
I like that. You have just listened to the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra. Please, please, please take a moment. Follow me on Twitter, KR Heemstra, and like us on Facebook.